Well, thank you so much for coming out tonight. This is our pilot's night. We look forward to this as our academy and church group, really some of the church folks involved with our school. We'll have 18 different schools from all over, from Texas, Wisconsin. I mean, it'll be a lot of folks here coming in and out the next several days. And I just want to start off tonight saying thank you to our church family. Thank you to Preacher allowing us the opportunity to host and have pilots. I was kind of getting down on myself the other day. I heard about another school that has pilots, and I thought, boy, it'd be really easy just to pack them up and just head down south and go to another convention. And then I started getting some text messages this week and people saying, boy, I really appreciated pilots. What a blessing, what a help it was in our lives, and we're so looking forward, in some cases, bringing people back to pilots this year. And so, again, just thank you. I could go around the room. There's so many people that have helped practicing, that come in, others who are preparing food through this week or for this week, and other people will be proctoring in a room that's from this church. And so I just, again, just want to say thank you to our church family. A lot of work that goes into it. There'll be, just to give you an idea, over about 2 day time, there'll be over 1,000 entries that will be judged for the 2 day total. And you kind of see the different categories that are on the bump outs tonight, give you an idea. And just tonight, we're highlighting some of those. Just want to give you a brief idea of what it's like. And they are nervous. The young people are nervous. Some new ones up this tonight. So I hope you do enjoy it. And the choir will end us off tonight. There's no amplification when the choirs, which is Wednesday night, so don't miss out that. There are three choirs. There are three large ensembles on Thursday morning. And then when just right now, we only have one band from Northwest. They'll be playing Thursday night to close us out. So without any further ado, starting out tonight's program is a female solo from Natalie Nelson singing Bow the Knee.
Kneel before Him, all adore Him, as you live to love Him more, bow the knee, bow the knee.
Well done, Natalie. Very good. New to the category, Sierra Pixley and Taylor Bruner in a brass duet performing Take Time to Be Holy. Good job, ladies. That's part of what Pilots is about, is getting the young people out of what they're used to doing and getting them into doing something different. I really appreciate Mrs. Prather working with both of those girls, and got to start somewhere. and getting you to do something that's different. That's what pilots is all about, really, is something they're not, it's out of their comfort zone. And so I really enjoyed just what I've been hearing in the hallways, some things not hearing in the hallways, but it's just keep moving on. A couple of the things, as I said, these different bump outs have different categories. The academic category has essay, poetry, short story writing, or in the process right now of being judged before pilots. However, this year's entries may be read out in the foyer. If you haven't seen all the kids' entry out there, they've done a great job. The test for math calculations for junior and senior high, written spelling, the history challenge, take place on the first day of convention. And depending on how they do, they get placed from first through fifth place. If they, some categories, there's a lot of them. Some of them, there are just a few. So I think the least amount is 15, and then all the way to 37 would be our highest category we have. Then going on, FBA's academic bowl team this year is Taylor Bruton. Students, one must be involved in the ministries of their churches. I forgot to award the round of applause. All right, there we go. Batteries are out on that one. I'll leave that one alone. I don't need it then. All right. So we also have CAP, which is those who are participating in every category, the five categories we have. And for them to be able to place in CAP, they have to place in the top four or five in each of those categories. So here are the individuals that are eligible for CAP. Colt Adams, Chloe Adams, Taylor Bruner, Emma Duchesne, Mindy Reardon, Natalie Nelson, Lauren Smith, Lila Pixley, and Jason Pixley. Give them a round of applause. Colt Adams, Gage Pobance, Abigail Thomason, and Mindy Reardon. They are the four contestants in our spelling challenge. This year, there are 36 contestants entered in spelling this year. The top 10 go on to an oral spelling competition. Tonight, we just have an abbreviated version of what the oral spelling would be like. And so we just want to give about four rounds is what we're going to do. I will say the word and then actually say the word twice. And then they're going to say the word and spell the word and then say the word again. That's how it works. They take a test on Wednesday and then Thursday, if they're in the top 10, they're in an oral spelling. Last year, Colt and Mindy were in the top 10. They moved on. Abby and Gage are new to it this year. And so we're hoping they do it well this year. Let me get to my spelling list, though. So Gage is going to start us off. And like I said, we'll just do a few rounds. Gage will start and then go down the row here, all right? The first word, Gage, stomach. Stomach.
Stomach. S-T-O-M-A-C-H. Stomach.
That is correct. Colt. Ready, Colt?
I don't know.
Adjunct. Adjunct.
Adjunct. A-D-J.
They get one time to stop and start over again, so go ahead.
U-C-T.
Very close. I'm sorry. A-D-J-U-N-C-T. All right. We'll have him be seated. We'll just keep going. Mindy? Suffocate. Suffocate.
Suffocate. S-U-F-F-O-C-A-T-E. Suffocate.
That is correct. Suffocate. Abigail. Alignment. Alignment.
Alignment. A-G-L-I-N-M-E-N-T.
Very close. I'm sorry, that is not correct. A-L-I-G-N-M-E-N-T is alignment. We're two here. All right, Gage. Your word to spell is leukemia. Leukemia.
Leukemia. L-U-C-I-M-I-A?
That is incorrect. That is not the right spelling. L-E-U-K-E-M-I-A is the correct spelling. All right, for the win, Mindy, you have hiatus. Hiatus.
Hiatus? H-I-A-T-U-S.
That is correct. Good job, Mindy. Now at the piano is Madison Maxwell playing Power of the Cross. Arts and crafts, including craftsmanship entries such as wood and metalworking, artistic entries like sketching, pen and ink, and painting, technological entries such as graphic design and photography, and practical arts such as sewing and baking, as we said, you can see in the foyer there. They spent a lot of time on these, and some of them last minute, but that's all right. They got them here. So enjoy those. I hope you do in the foyer after the service. Out with the old, in with the new, in their one-act play, New Year's Resolution, are Kayla Heyman, Natalie Nelson, and Deja Bibbs.
Just wanted to return your hammer. Thanks for letting me borrow it.
No problem.
So, what you up to?
I'm just working on some New Year's resolutions.
Oh, wow. Good for you.
What are they? Well, I've made several, but the one I'm working on right now is stealing.
You used to steal things?
Oh, no. But I do now.
Excuse me?
Yeah, I've been stealing things all day. Like, here's some guy's wallet. Really nice looking watch, and these used to belong to some poor soul who left them unattended at McDonald's.
Abby, those look like kid shoes.
Oh, undoubtedly. Yeah, I found them sitting outside the ball pit.
And the wheelchair? Please tell me you didn't.
Stolen! This is the easiest one, actually. They could hardly chase me without this baby.
You've got to be kidding me.
Whoa! Be careful. That's the propeller for a plane. It's pretty important.
I can't believe you made a resolution to steal things. That's like the worst thing I've ever heard.
Well, at least I'm making goals I can stick to. I also resolved not to eat any more fruits and vegetables. And I was doing pretty well until I got diagnosed with scurvy.
But your resolutions aren't making you a better person. You should be trying to improve yourself. Not to mention, the Bible clearly says, "Thou shalt not steal."
You realize you're committing a crime, right? Not everything is about me, Grace. Right now, I want to focus on others and how I can use them to my advantage.
Okay, well, it just so happens that my New Year's resolution is to do one good deed daily. And today, I'm going to start by returning all the stuff you've stolen, including those.
Whoa, wait, no. I was going to find a rabbit and make it worthy.
No, let go. What is wrong with you?
It's for science. Hey, Grace. What you up to?
I'm being mugged.
No, that is a lie. She has stolen all the stuff. She made a New Year's resolution to steal things.
Really? I know I'm new to this neighborhood, but that doesn't seem like something a person in a wheelchair would do.
No, you have to believe me. She has stolen these kid shoes, that propeller, and she doesn't even need this wheelchair.
Ugh. How dare you?
No, I know you can
walk.
Look, look!
Grace, stop that!
I know you can bend this.
Grace, I don't know what's going on, but I'm going to call the police if you don't stop right this second.
You do not need to do that.
See? She can walk.
So you did make a New Year's resolution to steal things?
Well, yeah.
Okay, we need to talk. Why exactly are you stealing things?
Well, it makes me happy.
Okay, not only is that incredibly selfish, but you're committing a crime. You could go to jail.
Well, when you say it like that, you make it sound like it's a bad thing.
It is a bad thing! The 8th commandment in the Bible says, "Thou shalt not steal." You're going directly against what God says.
That's what I said.
And Abby, you should be thankful you have a friend that cares enough about you to tell you when you're wrong. I can tell that Grace just wants to help.
Yeah, Abby. Friends look out for each other. You know what? You're both right. I know better. I shouldn't have stolen any of this stuff. Could you guys maybe help me put it all back?
Sure. Yeah, I would love to, but I'm actually on my way to see my grandmother. Apparently, she can't find her wheelchair anywhere. That woman is terrible when it comes to misplacing things. But what I really want to know is how she managed to lose an entire wheelchair. I'll see you all later. Bye.
Bye.
That's Liza's grandmother's wheelchair, isn't it?
Yep.
Well, let's get going.
Can we stop by a pawn shop on the way there?
No!
Oh, very good. The young ladies did a good job. Enjoy listening to them doing their plays. It's always amazing how they can put it together and what they can come up with on their own. It's always fun to watch. The music category, consisting of vocal and instrumental entries ranging from solos to large groups. Besides choir, each participant also sings in a small musical group. There are also some students playing an instrument events such as guitar, strings, brass, and piano. New to Pilots this year, entering the category of senior high preaching, is Victor Lopez.
So, if you guys open your Bibles to Deuteronomy 16:17. Deuteronomy 16:17. I want to hear an amen when you're there. So, give you a few more seconds. Every man shall give as he is able, according to the blessings of the Lord, thy God, which he hath given to thee. So today I'll be preaching to you guys about giving. So let's pray. Dear Lord, I thank you for the opportunity you've given me to preach. And I hope the message should be a blessing to people in here. And thank you for the rest of help the rest of the convention go in your name, I pray. Amen. So today I'll preach to you about giving. When we think about giving, the first thing that may come to mind is when somebody gave us something, when we give something to someone. But as Christians, that's not the first thing that should come to mind. So I will be giving you three things that we should give to the Lord. So now I'll go over to John 10:28. John 10:28. And I give unto thee eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of thy hand. So, the first thing we should give to the Lord is control of our life. And God gave us eternal life by sending His Son to die on the cross. So the best we can do to repay Him is give Him control of your life. And let Him fill us with desire to serve. So now, go to Malachi 3:10. Malachi 3:10. And it says, "Bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse, that there may be meat in my house, and prove me now herewith, said the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing, that there shall not be room enough to receive it." So here, the second thing we should give to the Lord is money. And this includes tithes, building funds, given to missionaries and other ministries. Because in Luke 6:38 it says, "Given it shall be given unto you." So by giving money to the Lord, He will repay you back. So now go to Joshua 24:15. And here it says, "And if it seem evil unto you to serve the Lord, choose you this day whom you will serve, or the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the flood, or those gods or the gods of the Amorites in whose land ye dwell. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord." So the third thing we should give to the Lord is time to serve Him. And this involves going to church, praying for the church members, visiting the sick and the elderly, and participating in other ministries. So by giving money to the Lord, giving Him control of our lives, and giving Him time to serve, we'll be blessed and rewarded, like it says in Acts 20:35. Can you please go there? Acts 20:35. And here it says, "I have shewed you all these things, how that so laboring you ought to support the weak, and remember the words of the Lord Jesus, how He said, it is more blessed gift to give than to receive." And now go to Colossians 3:24. "Knowing that of the Lord ye shall receive the reward of the inheritance, for ye serve the Lord Christ." So there's this member in the Spanish church who he's a faithful giver in all the three points that I've just given to you. So one day the Lord blessed him at his work when the boss called him to his office. And he started asking him questions about what school does your kid go to. So he told him that his kid goes to Faith Baptist Academy. And he told him he could leave. And the next week he called him to his office again and he told him, "I'll be paying your school bills." So that's an example of how the Lord will reward you if you are a faithful giver. So let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for this day, and I hope the message to have been a blessing. Help the people to give to the Lord, and thank you for this. Help the rest of the night to go well. In your name I pray. Amen.
Good job, Victor. Very, very good. Trent Jameson, Alberto Rodriguez, Mindy Reardon, and Lauren Smith are in a mixed quartet singing "There Is a Remedy."
That's lost in darkness, for the saint who's gone astray, for the sinner blind and searching, for the child in need of faith, for the homeless and forsaken, for the hungry and the cold, for the prisoner and the captive, for the young and for the old.
There is a remedy for every sin sick soul. There is a cure for all the pain and hurt and wrong. There is a solution for all the problems deep inside. There is a remedy, and His name is Jesus Christ.
Thank you.
for the little, for the lonely, for the weary and afraid, for the burdened and frustrated, the discouraged and dismayed.
For the mocked and persecuted, for the battered, for the wronged, for the scarred and for the wounded, for the weak and for the strong,
there is a remedy. For every sin, sick soul, there is a cure for all. For all the pain and hurt and wrong, there is a solution. For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy. And His name is Jesus Christ.
For every tribe and every nation, every color, every race, for every tongue and every language, every time and every place, there's an answer to the question. There's a love for all the hate.
There's a healer for the dying. He's the life, the truth, the way. There is a balm in Gilead to make the wounded whole. There is a balm in Gilead to heal the sin sick soul. For every sin sick soul, there is a cure for all. For all the pain and hurt and wrong, there is a solution. For all the problems deep inside, there is a remedy. And His name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy. And His name is Jesus Christ. There is a remedy. And His name is Jesus Christ.
Platform events such as monologues, dialogues, speeches, preaching, illustrated stories, and many more teach the students public speaking skills that will help them take positions, Lord willing, one day as Sunday school teacher, bus captain, junior church worker, and some of them are already doing that today. So what a blessing that is. And now performing their puppets entitled The Heart Department are Lila Pixley and Lauren Smith.
I'm good. Okay. All right then, the heart department is now open. Next.
Excuse me?
Yes?
Is this the heart department?
The what?
The heart department, you know, pump, pump your heart.
Oh, yes, pump, pump your heart. What can I do for you?
Well, my heart seems to be dead.
Your heart seems to be dead? Well, let's see if what you say is accurate. Let's see if your heart's dead. Okay, well, it does seem to be that your heart's a bit dead. Let's see. What can we do to get your heart alive again? How about I put you into a relationship?
Ooh, a relationship?
Yes, everybody loves a relationship.
Sounds exciting.
Yes, it can be. Now, I have some qualifications for you. What color hair do you want this man to have?
Blonde.
Blonde, okay. And what color eyes?
Green.
Green, like a Christmas tree.
There you go.
Yes, yes, yes. Now for the height.
Oh, 5'6".
All right.
Wait, no, 6'5".
Okay. And a hobby you both can do together.
Painting.
What kind of painting?
Finger painting.
Finger painting?
Yeah, you know, the paints with the...
Yeah, okay. Let me add some things up here. Okay, well, according to my calculations, this relationship should last about 4 to 6 months tops.
4 to 6 months? That's it?
Yeah, 4 to 6 months. I think it's pretty good, all things considering.
No, I don't think I want this relationship.
So, you're breaking up with the relationship?
I'm afraid so.
Well, as you know, every time a relationship ends, the heart gets ripped into two. You get depressed, you stay in your room, you wonder why life should even go on. You have no purpose, you have no meaning, and when that person leaves, they take a little bit of you with them.
No.
And it's just an awful, horrible thing. But it's your heart, and if you want the relationship, that's fine.
No, I don't think I want this.
No?
No.
Oh. All right. Have you ever tried beating your heart?
No. Don't beat my heart. My self-esteem is as bad as it is.
No?
No.
Oh. Yes. Well, then there only seems to be one way.
What way?
His way.
Whose way?
God's way.
No way.
Yes way.
I say.
All the way.
Do I delay?
Do it today.
Okay.
You see, Jesus, God's son, said this, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me."
He said that?
Yes. I wouldn't lie to you.
Oh, thank you so much.
Would you like to believe?
Yes.
Okay, I'll give you a moment.
God, please forgive me of my sins. I believe in you, and I want you to take control of my life. Thank you for saving me. Amen.
How do you feel?
Well, I feel quite new, and there seems to be a peace I cannot explain.
Yes, that peace comes from knowing God. Here, let me give you something to help you out. Here it is. This is your heart's instruction manual.
Ooh, the Holy Bibley?
No. Long on the O, long on the I, silent on the E.
The Holy Bible?
That's correct.
Oh, well, how long do I read it for?
Until your heart is content.
That long?
Yes, that long.
Well, thanks.
You're welcome.
Wait, do I owe you anything?
Do you believe?
Yeah.
Then it's free. Salvation is a gift.
So I don't owe?
You don't owe.
No?
No.
Oh. All right.
Next.
There is a reason why some of them just move things. That's just say it, that's why. All right, Chloe Adams, Liz Gaetan are singing a female duet entitled "He Gave Himself."
The sin debt must be paid, so God and man
man can reconciled be. So Jesus said, I'll go, because he loved me so. He shed his blood and paid sin's penalty. He gave himself to pay my debt I could not pay. When I was lost, he gave his world to be my way. Though I deserve to be a cross across that day, in love he took my place. No greater love is known, no greater love is shown, than when one lays his life down for a friend. But Jesus died for me, when I was his enemy. A love like this I cannot comprehend.
In her last year of pilots, Senior Taylor Bruner has entered the multimedia category. This year's video was to promote a church ministry. She has chosen the bus ministry, so if you'd sit back and enjoy her video.
My name is Taylor, and I'm a bus kid. What is a bus kid? A bus kid is a young person who is picked up and brought to church. Most do not have parents that have an interest of coming to church themselves. Even no support to come to church or to do right. To some, bus kids are a nuisance. A waste of money, time, and manpower spent. bus kid is a second-class citizen, unruly, unkept, and for the most part, unchurched. However, to others, a bus kid is a valuable resource, with untapped and limitless potential. Serving God with their lives. About 6 years ago, I was invited to church by a friend. So I came to church and I enjoyed it. I was in teen church and I heard the gospel message about how Jesus Christ came and died for my sins. That day I accepted Jesus Christ as my Savior. Now I'm in the Christian school and I'm looking forward to going to Bible college this fall. And that's all because somebody ran a bus route. My name is Taylor, and I am a bus kid.
Open to Romans chapter 12. I got a thought for you tonight. I want to give you in this little talk, the essence of pilots. The essence of pilots, all right? Why do we do it? Why do we continue to do it? Why was it started? And give it to you in 10 minutes or less. So 7:17, I'll shoot to pray about 7:27 and close the service. Chapter 12 is familiar. It starts off with, of course, verses 1 and 2 that we're very familiar with, Romans 12. And then it says in verse number 3, "For I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think soberly according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." There are two New Testament passages that deal with the subject of spiritual gifts. Those passages are Romans 12 and 1 Corinthians 12. Now, in this, Paul gives these familiar verses in verses 1 and 2. And then he goes right into teaching about spiritual gifts in verse number 3. In verses 6, 7, and 8, I won't take time to read them, he lists some of the different spiritual gifts. You'll find another list in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Some of the gifts listed in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, pardon me, are what we call apostolic sign gifts. They were given to the apostles, tongues, healings, those type of things, working of miracles. They were given to the apostles before we had a finished Bible. Now that we have a complete Bible, tongues, sign gifts like healings and miracles, they are all, God still heals, but you're not going to find a man walking around, regardless of what Benny Hinn does on television, you're not going to find a man walking around and touching people and healing. Like the shadow of Peter that passed over the sick people in the book of Acts and they got healed, that was a sign gift that was done away when the Word of God was completed, okay? But there are other gifts that are still operational in this day and age. Now, in Romans chapter 12 and in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, the words "every man," those exact words, "every man," are used two times in both chapters. So Paul, and there's not a whole lot of writing about spiritual gifts in the New Testament, but he uses the words "every man" four times writing about spiritual gifts. You see it here in Romans chapter 12, verse number 3. "I say through the grace given unto me, to every man that is among you." So to whom is Paul writing? He is writing the saints at Rome, to the saints at Rome. He is writing to the people who are in the church at Rome. And so he says, "I say to every man," using the word "man" for person. That's man, woman, boy, girl, young person, doesn't matter. "I say to every man that is among you." He's writing to a local church. Then he says at the end of verse number 3, "according as God hath dealt to every man the measure of faith." So he says, I'm writing to every person in the church at Rome. And I want every person in the church at Rome to know that God has given to you the measure of faith. Now, when he says measure of faith, that's another way of saying that God has given to every man who is among you, every person who is in the church, a measure of operating practical faith. That is, he has gifted you through the Holy Spirit to exercise at least one spiritual gift. All right? At least one. So he's writing to every person in the church. And he says to every person in the church, I want every one of you to know that God doesn't pass anybody over. God gives to every man who is among you, every person in the church, a measure of faith. That is, he gives you an operating, practical gift that you can use. All right, now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we'll pick up what Paul wrote here to the church at Corinth about this matter of spiritual gifts. So he says, every man in the church, every person in the church has been gifted with an operating, practical gift. Okay? Now let's see how they're supposed to use that gift. In chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians and verse number 4, you'll see the Trinity involved in the gifts. Now, there are diversities of gifts, but the same Spirit. There's the Holy Spirit. Verse 5, there are differences of administrations, but the same Lord. That's Jesus Christ. Verse 6, and there are diversities of operations, but it is the same God which worketh all in all. There's God the Father. So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit are all involved in the giving of spiritual gifts. Now look at verse number 7. But the manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit withal. That word manifestation means made known. So the Holy Spirit gives every man, every person in the church, nobody's passed over. He gives to every person at least one operating, practical gift, and that gift is manifested, it is made known. Because the Holy Spirit, when He gives the gift, He gives the ability for the person to use the gift, and every man is to use the gift, the Bible says, to profit withal. What's he mean? He's not talking about profiting personally. He's not talking about making money. He's talking about every person is given a gift. Nobody is passed over. Everybody is given the ability to use and exercise that gift. And God does that through His Spirit for the profit of the local church. God gives those gifts to people for the profit of the local church, so that the local church as an assembly, that born-again baptized assembly, may profit. He's not talking about personal profit, people. He's talking about profiting the local church that every Christian is supposed to be a part of. And then he says in verse number 11, the last time he uses the words every man, he says in verse number 11, but all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as he will. In other words, the Spirit of God individually gifts people according to His will. Now, folks, let me put all of this together. Paul says every one of us has an operational gift, and every one of us is supposed to use that gift in the local assembly for the profit, for the building up, for the edifying of the local assembly. And every person has been individually gifted by the working of the Holy Spirit. Now listen very carefully. Here is the essence of what I've said in one sentence tonight. Every person in the local assembly has been individually gifted by the Holy Spirit to exercise a spiritual gift for the profit of the local New Testament church. That's what Paul is teaching. Every man. And when I say use the word man, that's every person. Every person in the local assembly has been individually gifted by the Holy Spirit to exercise a spiritual gift for the profiting of the assembly. And you know when the assembly profits the most? When every person is exercising that gift. When nobody is sitting on their gift. God doesn't give us gifts and talents to bury. God gives us gifts and talents to invest. Some people are single gifted. Some people are double gifted. Some people are triple and quadruple gifted. It doesn't matter, friend. If you're a one gifted person, God's not going to require any more out of you than what He requires out of the four gifted people. God wants us to use the gifts that He has given us for the profit of the local assembly. That could be singing, that could be preaching, that could be teaching, that could be helping. Helping is a gift. It could be administrating. That's a gift. It could be organization. That's a gift. It could be serving. It could be playing an instrument. Somebody's gift could be giving. God gives people the gift of giving. And if God gives you the ability, the gift of making money, it's not so you can just profit personally. It's so that the assembly may profit. So that the assembly may be well financed. And there have been men down through the years who were blessed. They were gifted to make money. And they gave away more than they made. They gave away more than they kept for themselves. You know, Victor brought up the matter of tithing. God commands us to give 10% and lets us keep 90%. And those of us that have learned a little bit about grace giving know that you don't stop at 10%. You seek to get to that 20 and 30, 35% mark. And the more you give to God, the more God gives back to you. And there are some men down through the history of New Testament churches who have kept 10 or 15 or 20% of their total earnings and given 80% away to the Lord. And that's the reason God gave them the gift to make money. He didn't give them the gift to make money to pile it up for themselves. He gives them the gift to make money so that the local church may profit, may do well, may be edified, may be built up. And this is the essence of pilots, friends. This is the word essence means the basic, the real and invariable nature of a thing. The essence of pilots is to help young people begin to understand the responsibility of using their gifts in the local church. That's what it's about. It's about helping young people understand that God has blessed them with some talent, some ability, and to know what those gifts are and to learn to use them in the church so that the church profits with all. That's the essence of pilots. The essence of pilots is not for people to stand up here and necessarily get a... And we don't clap. You don't clap during the judging of pilots. It's not allowed. And that's not the essence of pilots. The essence of pilots is not so I can... It could be some kind of big shot. The essence of pilots is so that I can use the gift that God has given me to build the local New Testament church. And Brother Bragg mentioned some of the young people that perform tonight are already using their talents and abilities. You want to see some of it at work? Come to the church at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. See the little huddle groups over there. Go to the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-old class like I did a few weeks ago. I mean, unannounced, just walked upstairs to help a mother find a child. And went upstairs, and here were the 3-, 4-, and 5-year-olds sitting on the floor, glued to attention, listening to one of our young adult ladies teaching the lesson over there. That's what pilots is all about. Whetting the appetite of these teenagers and young people to start using the gifts that God has given them to benefit the local assembly. That's what it's all about. I like what Spurgeon said. Charles Spurgeon said this. He said, "We are neither born nor born again for ourselves. Like bees, we must all bring honey to the common hive." That's what Spurgeon said. And I'll tell you the healthiest church. I don't know where the healthiest church in America is or the healthiest church in the world is. But I'll tell you what you'll find out about the healthiest church. You'll find out that the healthiest church has a great percentage of its members exercising their spiritual gifts. Not for personal glory, but for the glory of God and for the help of the local New Testament church. I don't know who texted Brother Bragg, but I know he's not just saying a bunch of hot air. I travel and I preach, and I would say probably 50% of the time, maybe 60% of the time, somebody will come, a young adult man or a young adult lady will come. They attended Pilots Convention, and they're now at a church somewhere. They may not be preachers. They may not be youth directors. They may not be in quote-unquote full-time ministry, but they are full-time Christians. And I'll say to them, I'll say, what are you doing? What's your job? And they'll tell me their occupation and what they're doing in the area to make money. And then they'll say something like this, you know, I'm teaching, I lead junior church. I have a Sunday school class. And they'll chuckle and say, all the things that you guys encouraged us to do at Pilots is what I am using now in my local New Testament church. That's the essence of Pilots. That's the essence of it. That's the whole program. The basic, the nature of the thing is to get young people in the habit of exercising their spiritual gifts for the profit of the local assembly. And as you saw tonight, we have some young people that got up here tonight for the first time. Their nerves were at full blast. I'll guarantee you, stand up here, it's a nerve-wracking thing. You're an awful bunch to look at. Amen. I'm telling you, it's a nerve-wracking thing. But honestly, whether they were there for the first time or whether they've been up here time and time again, I appreciate the fact that they got up and tried to do something with the talent, the ability that God has given them. And that's the whole essence of the Pilots program. That's why we do it year after year. And like Brother Bragg, I want to say thank you to our church for allowing us to host this convention and for serving in it and working in it, because that's the essence of Pilots, is to be one of those bees bringing honey to the common hive. Amen.